This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. My guest at this time is Amy Ridenour, president of the National Center for Public Policy Research. She joins us today to shed some light on a new policy coming out of the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission and its new rules regarding how employers must respond to applicants with a criminal background. And Amy, thanks so much for being with us.
Always glad to be with you, Greg.
Well, we know there are certain laws against discrimination against people based on their race, their ethnicity, their gender. What now is the EEOC demanding that employers do?
Well, basically what they're saying is that you have to be very careful when deciding whether or not to hire someone with a criminal record. And this includes people who have been convicted, not just people who have been arrested. What they are saying is that because African Americans and Hispanics have disproportionately been convicted of crimes in the United States, if you have a blanket prohibition against, for instance, hiring anyone who's ever been convicted of an assault felony, that if that isn't in the government's position logical, you can actually be accused successfully of being racist, even if race had nothing to do with your decision.
So in terms of what the legal ramifications will be here, can the government actually go after someone for simply using someone's criminal background as a reason for not giving them a job?
Yes, that's what they're saying. They're basically saying that because a black or an Hispanic is more likely, in an individual one that you've never met, you just meet them on the street, odds are slightly more likely that they could have been convicted of a crime. If you say, I will not hire all people who have ever been convicted of assaults, you are slightly disadvantaging blacks and Hispanics. So if you say to a person, I will not hire you because I don't think it's a good idea to have someone who's been convicted of assaults working in my candy shop, you can actually be fined by the government for that position. Now, the government says, however, that there are times when it makes sense. So they might say, candy shop okay, but women's clothing store not okay. The problem is there aren't any rules, so you have to guess. And, of course, most people are going to guess in the way that is least likely to get them sued. It's bad on a lot of grounds, one of which is the nebulousness of it. I don't believe you should ever have a law that people can't tell if they're not following it. But the second thing is, you know, crime isn't a good thing. And there's a big difference between somebody who maybe got caught dealing drugs when they were 19 and now they're 43, and a person who's actually hurt someone. And, you know, people don't want to hire somebody that might hurt them. Gosh, they should be allowed to have that restriction.
Amy, are the bosses, the employers here, just going to basically come up with whatever other reason they can think of to deny employment? Is that the easy way around this?
Well, there's probably no real easy way around it because you're going to have a situation in which the people who are hiring don't actually work with the people directly. You know, one of the things that has been advised is that if you're hiring people who work from their own homes on the telephone, then there wouldn't be any reason why you wouldn't want to hire a criminal. Well, that is actually not the case because you're still going to have interactions with people. Now, keep in mind, I'm not saying never hire a criminal. In fact, the other way around, if somebody's rehabilitating, you know, please do. But that said, it depends on the individual case, and the individual decision, in our view, should be made by the employer, not by the government. And number two, this has nothing to do with race. I mean, this is a bizarre situation in which you could actually turn down a black applicant in order to hire a white one, because white people still commit most of the crimes.
Yeah, talk about that a little bit more. I saw in your comments that actually it's white people who would benefit the most from this, white criminals, because there's such a large percentage of those, even if it may not be proportional to the racial breakdown of our population.
Exactly. I mean, most people in prison are white. It's just that any individual person is more likely to have gone to prison if they're black. So if you have a blanket prohibition against hiring persons who have committed a crime, you're going to be affecting more white people than you are black people or Hispanics or Asians, who are actually very underrepresented in the felon ranks. So this isn't about race. And there is nothing, you know, this is another part of this. The EEOC shouldn't be writing laws. If Congress wants to say, now I'd be opposed to it, but nevertheless, this is their job. If Congress wants to say it's illegal to not hire somebody because they committed a felony, they can. It can. But the EEOC doesn't have that right. And let me tell you one more thing, Greg. It goes further, or it may. In 2006, the District of Columbia Council literally had a debate over whether to make being a criminal a protected class under civil rights laws, which would mean you would actually have to prove you had a quota, that you would have to hire a certain number of criminals. And the effect of that would be that people who had never committed a crime would be at a disadvantage against those who had, and the people who had committed small crimes, by which I mean nonviolent crimes, crimes a long time ago, you know, they would be the safer people to hire. They would be at a massive disadvantage or advantage because the employers could meet their quotas with these quote-unquote safe criminals. I mean, you know, the government's just gone out of its mind when it's even thinking about things like this.
Amy, another point you bring up in your comments, we've got about 2 minutes left in our conversation here, is that employers could find themselves in a kind of a catch-22 situation. On the one hand, if you do deny employment to someone because they have a past criminal status, you could be pursued by the government. But of course, if you bring someone into your employment with a dangerous criminal record and something happens at the workplace, then you're looking at trouble on the other side.
Absolutely. You can be sued in civil courts if you put your employees or your customers at undue risk. So if you hire someone with a criminal record, you are presumably slightly more likely to be putting people at risk. Now, I know there are people with records out there who are listening to this and getting angry. I've written about this before. I get hate mail from people, and I am sympathetic to their need to find jobs, and I'm not saying to people don't hire them. But I am saying this, that an employer is put in an impossible position when on the one hand they can be sued for hiring somebody, and on the other hand they can be sued for not hiring somebody. Is there any wonder why people get out of hiring people when they're put into positions like this? And we still have time to stop some of this stuff, but you know, it's nuts, and it shows how people in government get so disengaged from the real world that they just don't even think of the practical applications of the rules they're putting on people.
Last question, and this is certainly off topic, but it may also be out of your scope of expertise, Amy. How successfully is our country, our government, local communities rehabilitating past criminals so that when they do reemerge into general society, they are reputable people that can be hired?
Well, although we could do a better job, the best thing we can do, to be honest, is to have a good, solid economy. Because when there are jobs out there, people take a chance on employees. When there are very few jobs out there, then people get to pick and choose, and it's much harder when you have a record. So, I mean, I know that sometimes conservatives throw this out all the time as being the panacea, but, you know, a good economy does float all boats.
Amy, very interesting debate. Thank you very much for being with us.
Glad to do it.
Amy Ridenour is president of the National Center for Public Policy Research. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.